mention it almost every week, but just the musical talent. Amen. We are so grateful for it, and we thank you all for sharing it. If you haven't already, if you'll grab your inside your bulletin, you have a sheet there that will kind of have an outline for you. Has a few blanks in it, not very many. But mainly it has listed for you the verses that we're going to be using and the title. We are looking at God's sustaining grace. We are in a series where we're entitled God's Grace. And we are looking at the different aspects, or the views, or the reflections, whatever word you want to use there, about what grace is. We talked about in the very first one, especially, we talked about that grace is like a multifaceted diamond. It has so many different avenues that we can look at. Probably has almost as many definitions, doesn't it? We've heard so many of them. I shared some of them with you. One definition of that God's grace is God's love in action. That's kind of what Tony was addressing last Sunday night. That it's an action word. If we love, then we go. Another definition is that God giving me what I need and not what I deserve. God giving me what I need and not what I deserve. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. One other definition is grace is the face that God wears when he looks at my failures. It just struck me that that's kind of what we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. You just can't get away from grace, can you? My goal through this series is when we get done with this series that you will really have a little bit better understanding about what grace is and what it isn't, and how once we really get absorbed what grace is, my hope and my prayer is you don't just understand it, but that you experience it, that you apply it to your life, that you feel it, that you will enjoy it, that you will live in it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished. Now, one thing you're going to notice this morning, most of the passages that I have listed for you are not necessarily translations that I generally use. Now, some of them are, but a lot of them are in the kind of the newer translations. And I just want to remind you, if you're going to do a word study, you don't want to do it in modern translations necessarily, do you? You don't want to do it in a paraphrase translation. You want to do it in a word, a Bible that is a word by word translation, not just a phrase. But I want to just make the point, it was intentional, that you have a lot of these passages are those paraphrase Bibles. And it's because I want you to get a feel for what grace is. We're going to have plenty of time to dive into the words and dissect the words, but I want you to get the feel for it. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to experience God's grace. If you notice, though, it does say one word that I want to point out, and that is the word will. God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished. You notice he doesn't say he might finish it or he hopes to finish it. He says he will finish it. It means that you, if we've invited Christ in our lives, if we have accepted him as Lord and Savior, you're going to make it across the finish line. And it's because this grace points out that it doesn't depend upon my performance or your performance. It depends on God's sustaining grace. Now, I believe I've shared this story with y'all before, and I remember the first time I was trying to put it out into words, I was trying to be politically correct. When I was in high school, I didn't enjoy participating in track. I tried basketball in junior high, and when I got to high school, I kind of just gave up and just concentrated just on football. It doesn't take much of imagination to look at this body and realize it was not designed to run a long ways. All right? It was designed for short bursts, is about best it gets. And so each year, after we finished the football season, we went into what was called off-season. Now, off-season, well, you had to go to off-season if you did not play basketball. And at the time, we didn't have baseball and all that. We just had football, basketball, and track. And if you didn't participate in basketball or track, you went to what was called off-season. Off-season is just another word for lifting a lot of weights and doing a lot of running. Okay? Now, Coach Richter's is back there cringing because there's a lot more to it. But from my standpoint, that's what it was involving. Well, one good thing about all this alignment is we had what was called the big, and politically correct called, the big man's mile. You had to run a big man's mile. Now, if any of you have ever ran it, you know what I'm talking about. That's four laps around the track. But the big man's mile was, if you ran the straights, you could walk the curves. So in other words, you ran that, Dean, what is that, 110? Is that what the straights are? Something like that, 100 yards. And then you could walk the curve, and then run the straight, and walk the curve. Now, that worked really well for this body, I want you all to know. Because those 100-yard dashes were, that was like a marathon for me. All right? And I got thinking about that big man's mile. And I thought, you know, as well as that worked for me in off-season, I see a lot of believers running a big man's mile in their religious life, in their spiritual life. And it doesn't work near as well, does it, for them to run the straights and walk the curves. As I thought about this, I thought, you know, the Christian life is much like a race. And what we need to understand and what I want you to see is that God's sustaining grace helps us to run this race that God has given us like we're supposed to run it. See, in case y'all didn't figure out, that's not really how you're supposed to run a mile like I ran it. You're not supposed to run the straights and walk the corners. If you do that, the curves, if you do that, you're not competing in a mile race. But like I said, I see a lot of believers that do that. And God's Word says that we will complete the race. So my goal is that with you understanding sustaining grace a little bit better, it will help us to run the race that God wants us to run. And there's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of things that will cause us to stumble. Now, the verse that I did read for you, 1 Peter 5:11, said, "My purpose in writing this is to encourage you and to assure you that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens." No matter what pitfalls there are, you see, there are a lot of things in our life that will cause us to stumble. There's a lot of things that in our life that will cause us to get off track. There are a lot of things in our life that will cause us to only run the straights and walk the curves spiritually. But God's sustaining grace, when we understand it, helps us to run this race the way we're supposed to. I want to share with you three things about God's sustaining grace. Three things that will help you with these. God's sustaining grace will help you with three specifically. Now, and there's a lot of them, but y'all wouldn't sit here long enough for all of them that I could come up with. So got it narrowed down to three. Number one, that's that number one there. I can count on God's sustaining grace to help me keep on standing. And here's one of the things that causes us to stumble is when I am tempted. God's sustaining grace helps me to keep standing even when I'm tempted. 1 Peter 5:8, watch out for the attacks from the devil, your enemy, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him, and so be strong in the faith. What we need to realize is when we invite Christ into our life, That begins the battle, doesn't it? The war is on at that point. And Satan is doing everything he can to get us off track. The Bible tells us that we're all tempted. We can never outgrow these temptations, this fact that we would be tempted, I guess is a better way to say that. But the good news is that we see in the Bible where Jesus was tempted, but yet it says he never sinned. So we understand that being tempted is not the sin, is it? It's when we fall to that, when we succumb to that temptation. I've visited with many a believers that they call or they come by and have set up a time to visit with me, and they're just put out with themselves that there's even a possibility that they could be tempted about things the way they are. And I always want to make sure that everybody understands, listen, you're always going to be tempted. It's what you do about that temptation. And it's sustaining grace that helps us to fend off that temptation. It's sustaining grace that helps us to be what God wants us to be. No other place was this better illustrated than many years ago when Bill Clinton was president. Larry King conducted an interview with Dr. Billy Graham. They were talking about the current scandal, and there was more than one, but scandals that were surrounding the Clinton family. And Larry King said this to Dr. Graham. He said, "You're 80 years old. You've been in the public limelight your entire life, and you've never, ever been accused of a scandal. You've had the history of integrity." He said, "How have you managed to never have a scandal in your life?" In typical Dr. Billy Graham fashion, he quoted a scripture. And this is the scripture he quoted, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He said, "No temptation has overtaken you except that what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." What was he talking about? He was talking about sustaining grace. That's a terrific promise. That God is never going to put something on us that he doesn't give us a route of escape, if you want to say it that way, a route to get away from it. God's sustaining grace helps me stand when I'm tempted. Here's the second one, and that is God's sustaining grace helps me stand when I'm tired. I don't know about y'all, well, I do. I think we all agree on this. We all understand about temptation, but what really, really causes us to stumble is when we just get wore out, huh? When we're tired. Life is exhausting. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of fuel to swim against the streams. Oh, it's pretty easy just to go along and get along, doesn't it? Just to go along with the world. Doesn't take a whole lot of energy to do that. I always think of the term of just coasting. It doesn't take much energy. It doesn't take much fuel to coast, does it? But let me ask you a question. Have you ever coasted uphill? No. If we're coasting, it means we're going downhill, doesn't it? And that's not what God intends at all for us. He tells us, let us not grow weary of doing what is right, for we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. You see, where we get this power when we don't feel like going on when we're tired is sustaining grace. 2 Corinthians 1:21, 22. It is God who gives us the ability to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want you to see the connection between the Holy Spirit and standing firm. It is the power through the Holy Spirit that allows us to stand firm, isn't it? When we're tempted and when we're tired, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that strength and that ability. And I guess if I wanted to sum it all up, I could just simply say that the Holy Spirit is all about sustaining grace, isn't it? Really, the key to when we get tired. Anybody tired this morning? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you feel tired. Okay, I just making sure I'm talking to. Everybody was kind of looking at me like new calves at new gates. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Hey, I'm tired today. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy month. And when we get tired, it's the Holy Spirit within us that gives us that strength to go on. I think the problem is we try to, and we even say it sometimes. They say, well, you know, I'm really tired, but I'm trying to live the life Christ asked me to live. You're trying. That's the problem, isn't it? You're trying to be like Jesus. You're trying to be good. You're trying to keep the Ten Commandments. You're trying to be a person of integrity. You're trying, but it's not you trying. That's not the answer. I've heard people say before, well, it is really hard to be a Christian today. I want to tell y'all something. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's impossible when you're doing it in your own strength. When you're doing it with your own power. See, the only perfect person was Jesus. And when you're getting tired and you're saying, man, you know, this is difficult. It's not difficult. It's impossible when you're doing it. It's Jesus in us. Rather than us trying to be like Jesus, we need to just let Jesus be Jesus in you and in me. Here's one of those things you might want to, I don't think I listed it. You might want to write it down. The key to the Christian life is not trying. It's trusting. The key to the Christian life is not trying. It's trusting. It's not psych yourself up and work real hard and see if I can achieve this level. It's trust and let Jesus live through you and I. And that's called sustaining grace, isn't it? Because there's not a single one of us that earned it or deserved it or should be awarded it on our own merit. It was given to us through grace. Now, a couple of men figured this out. Moses did. Can you imagine leading 3 million whining, crying church family members through the wilderness for 40 years? You think he ever got tired? I got another one for you. How about Noah? I've told you all this many times. 120 years is how long it took him to build the ark. You think he ever got tired of getting up and pounding nails? You think he ever got tired of running the mile race? Don't you think he ever thought it might be kind of nice to walk the curves? Those guys figured out that when we're tired, sustaining grace helps us to stand. Philippians 2:13, for God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve His purpose. I hear so much about willpower and about people wanting something done. People saying, well, you got to go help me. We got to get the power. We got to have purpose. We got this, that, or the other. Now, it's not about our willpower. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. When God gives you the will and the power to do something, He'll enable you to do it. There's a third thing, though, isn't it? Not only does it help me stand, sustaining grace helps me stand when I'm tempted, when I'm tired, but sustaining grace helps me stand when I'm troubled as well. When I'm troubled. I got thinking about this. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of troubles, but the three main ones are those kinds of troubles that just blow us away like the wind. And then there's the kind of troubles that just weigh us down like a sack of potatoes. And then there's another kind of trouble that just yanks the rug right out from underneath us, isn't it? And what do we do in these situations? Well, let me first tell you what we don't need to do is we don't need to play the what-if game, our if-only game. Well, if only I had more willpower. No. If only. No. Look at what Isaiah says. Don't worry because I am with you. Don't be afraid because I am your God. I will make you strong. I will help you. I will support you. And my right hand, with my right hand, that saves you. There's five things listed right there. And I'm not going to dig into them. I just want to mention them. Five things that God says He will promise to do for us that helps us when we're in trouble, helps us to stand. He said, first of all, He's going to be with us. Do y'all see it? Then He says He's going to make us strong. And then He says He's going to help us. He's going to support us. And He's going to save us. God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. What do you do when you come across an unfixable problem? Be it a health issue, financial issue, emotional issue. What do you do when you come and you can't fix an unfixable problem? Or you can't solve an unsolvable question? Or you can't change an unchangeable circumstance? Or you can't control something that hurts you deeply? You lean on sustaining grace. And He says He will give, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the power to get you through it. I knew I was going to be running kind of close this morning, so the second part is the yes, but how. Okay, I kind of explained what sustaining grace is, but how do you get it? How do you apply it? How do you make it work in your life? See, I think it's almost criminal for a preacher to stand up here and tell y'all, this is what sustaining grace looks like. And then tell you, okay, search the Bible this week and see if you can figure out how to get it. So let me tell you very quickly. I'm not going to elaborate on them, just very quickly. How do you receive this grace? Four things. One, you have to call out for God's help. You have to ask Him for it, don't you? You say, God, I need help. Second thing you have to do is you need to fill your mind with God's Word. Oh, you haven't heard me talk about that before, have you? You got to get in God's Word and you've got to pull His promises, read His promises. Read what He says He will do. You ask for God's help, fill your mind with God's Word, and you also have to accept the support from God's people. There's a reason we gather every week. There's a reason we gather in midweek. Because there are temptations. We get tempted, we get tired, and we have troubles. And we need to rely and accept the support from brothers and sisters in Christ. And the fourth one is we need to hold on to God's promises. If there is ever a verse, I know I tell you all this all the time, if there's ever a verse that I love with all of my heart, it's Isaiah 40, verses 28-31. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired, but those who hope in the Lord, He will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. And they'll run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not be faint. You know what that verse means to me spiritually? When we're tempted to run the big man's mile, God will allow us to run it like it's supposed to be ran. To run the straights and run the curves as well. Now I see some of our youth are like, boy, I'm going to talk to the coach and see if he'll let me run the, huh? I saw Joe. I saw it in his eyes. It's okay. If you can talk your coach into it in the physical running, that's all right. But I want to tell you something. God never intended us to run this spiritual life that way. Amen. If there's ever an example of that, it's the Apostle Paul. Here's a guy who was a zealous persecutor of the church. I don't just mean he was against the church. He enjoyed being against the church, didn't he? And he was walking down a road to Damascus, and he discovered sustaining grace. And later in his life, he wrote 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. He said, three times I pleaded that the Lord would take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast and all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. We don't know what that thorn in his flesh was. I could get in a lot of trouble, tell you what some of the speculations are about it. Doesn't matter. Paul said, Lord, take this from me. Take this temptation away from me. Take this tiredness away from me. Take this trouble away from me. And God said, no. Now, my grace is sufficient for you. Brothers and sisters, I don't have anything better for you this morning. Whatever you struggle with, God's grace is sufficient for you. But you got to ask for it. You got to get in God's Word, find it. You got to rely upon and take the support of brothers and sisters in Christ. And then you claim those promises that you find. Amen.